Log Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Wake up, all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. If we just let it be, na 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 na, the world won't get no better. We gotta change it now, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. They don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our mind. Surely things will work out. They do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, just you and me. Don't use us. Stop using the dope.
Amen, amen. To God be the glory for this awesome, wonderful day. We thank God for this day of May the 24th, 2021, a day we've never seen before. We'll never see this day again. But in this awesome and wonderful day of Thanksgiving, we give God glory, honor, and praise. Continue to thank him for all that he has done, being grateful and thankful that he is omnipotent. We are the one that have to be so grateful and appreciate for all the love that God continues to give, even as we think about John 3:16, where we know it talks about, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That's love. And so when we talk about tonight and we come together and we want to be able to express exactly what we mean when we talk about enable love, and which will facilitate oneness, we know God loves us all. And if we want to be more like God, we have to do our part to also enjoy this thing we call love, this thing we call oneness. And I just pray that we all take the opportunity to understand and know that we must enable love if we want to facilitate oneness. And all of us know that oneness is such a unique and awesome thing that we all can have if only we do the necessary work. Oneness does not come just by happenstance. Oneness does not come just because you're married and you're not operating in the realm of where God ordained this first institution we call marriage. Yes, he talks about it in Genesis 2:24, where you will leave your mother and father and cleave with your spouse. But all of us don't understand that scripture in the manner in which it's written. We leave our mother and father. It doesn't mean that we leave our mother and father. We come and join our wife or our husband and be in holy matrimony, but then feel, think, and believe that because we're in the house together, we're doing things together, that you individually can go out and do whatever you desire to do. That's not how love works. And so I just pray tonight will be a perfect example of how we're able to share and impart in your life a few nuggets as it relates to enable love to facilitate something we talk about every week that is so prevalent and so important, and we want everyone to experience, and that is to facilitate oneness. Most gracious and most heavenly Father, as always, I just want to say thank you to these awesome and powerful, strong, God-fearing men and women who have made their way to the Blog Talk Radio Show tonight to be a part of that number where two or more are gathered together. We call upon your mighty name, Lord God. We know that you are in the midst, Holy Spirit. We need you. We welcome you. We ask that you take over our mouthpiece. We ask that you give us an opportunity to be able to remove self and allow you an opportunity to allow words to flow, to be able to share through transparency with our listening audience, knowing, Lord God, that this is a task that you have it on. You have us on a special assignment, and I thank you for our willingness that we're able to share and give back a few of these nuggets that have helped us and helped encourage us along the way. I come on this evening, Lord God, just thanking you for all of these individuals that have made their way to the Blog Talk Radio Show, that whatever it is, Lord God, that they stand in need of, I pray that you meet them all in their time of need. I pray tonight if there's anyone that's not 100% in their body, that you will give them an opportunity to lean and depend on you, to stretch their hands to you, Lord God, whence all of their help comes from, and declare and decree that they're healed by your stripes. I pray tonight for those that may be going through bereavement, that you would pick them up, carry them through their difficult days, Lord God, and give them an opportunity to lay their head down on your shoulder. I thank you tonight, Lord God, that you're going to continue to be in the midst to allow us all to recognize, know, and understand who we are in you, Lord God. And so on tonight, for those that may have some differences, some challenges within their marriage, I pray that through reconciliation that you will bring them back together and give them an opportunity, Lord God, to be able to do the things that they must do, to be able to operate in this wonderful word that we speak about week after week called oneness. I pray that where there is ever a time or ever a situation where oneness is starting, Lord God, to separate itself from one another, I come against it, and I pray that you allow us to do everything in our power to be able to bring it back together. Tonight, Lord God, is no different. We come declaring and decreeing your word over each and every one of us, that you bring clarity to our minds. You bring love to each and every one of our hearts. And you bring, Lord God, the spirit of the Holy Spirit upon us to be able to allow us to operate in the manner in which we're supposed to operate as children of God. And I pray tonight, Lord God, that any of us that have missed the mark, that we understand what that word forgiveness says, that we must take the time to go and ask for forgiveness on anyone that we may have brought off to. And I pray tonight, Lord God, that you will continue to help us all understand the things that you desire for us to do so that we can be the best individuals on this side of heaven that we can possibly be. But we all recognize, know, and understand that in order to be the best that we can be in the manner in which you want us to be, there has to be some studying done. There has to be, Father God, some digging in, some dissecting of your word for us to get it in our hearts and our spirit, for us to be able to regurgitate it for ourselves and for others at the appropriate time. So tonight, as my awesome, wonderful, and magnificent husband comes forward with a word in season, I pray that you give him an opportunity to share through transparency. Give him an opportunity to recognize, know, and understand, Lord God, that he will be restored with everything that he pours into our listening audience tonight. I come declaring and decreeing right now, Holy Spirit, that you continue to be with us all. And I thank you once again, even as we complete our session tonight, that as Minister Leah comes on, that you would bless her immensely as well and give her the opportunity to be able to do the things that she needs to do. We love you so much, Lord God, and we want to just say thank you for this day and every day as you give us this privilege to be able to declare and decree your word over each and every one of our lives as we continue to show your word approved in each and every one of our lives by studying it like tonight. Give us the ability to be able to gain and know exactly what we need to do as we continue to study about love. I love you so much, Lord God, and I want to just say thank you for this day and every day that you give us to call upon your mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name I pray, amen, amen, and amen.
Well, amen. Let everybody say amen. We praise God and thank God and welcome you once again because you know love makes the world go round. Y'all remember that one? Some of y'all probably remember that one by Mr. Jackson. Love does make the world go round. God is love, and God allows each and every one of us to come to that point where we know that love is the most powerful reality that we could even think about experiencing. It's a love thing. It's a beautiful situation when we come to understand what love is, not only from the perspective of the recipient, but also from the experience of the giver. So we thank God tonight that he is love. And we know that perfect love casts out all fear, that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. So we praise God and thank God that we are learning how to enable love to facilitate this thing called oneness. We praise God for that. And see, we may or may not believe that our desire for oneness is really fed by our willingness to internalize the best of what life experiences make available to us. And as we grow and develop, we are exposed to these realities. If we think about, for example, why we would use such a word, enable love to facilitate oneness. See, because if we are created in God's image and God is love, then what must we be about? Don't we experience when we come into this world an unadulterated love? It's not based on any condition. It's just love. And when a mother has an opportunity to experience that miracle that at the birth of a child, a woman is as close to death as she'll ever be. And unfortunately, there are some mothers who literally die giving birth to a child. It's one of those bittersweet moments where right before you and I were delivered, our mother may have experienced some pain and or discomfort, even if they had received an epidural to null or to dull or not allow them to feel the fullness of the pain that many go through. Now, I know that there are some women, they don't experience that pain, that for whatever reason God blessed them that they could have their children naturally. And there are some cultures and society in the world to where when women are used to squatting and stretching, you know, they don't have to deal with that cut called that episiotomy, where you have to cut a woman to facilitate the birth of a child. But see, even there, that enablement is necessary to facilitate the completion of oneness in the birth of that child. You know, when we begin and think about the word enable itself, it's when we are willing to give up something because we have the authority or the means to do so. When they come and ask a woman at that moment when she is now dilated or got to that point in the process of delivery, and they come and they ask her sometimes, well, this is your last opportunity. Are you sure you don't want to have an epidural? And some women at that point will say yes, and some will say no. What they say is not the key, but the deal is they have the authority. And based on that authority, based on what they have been granted, they can determine what's going to take place in terms of the decisions made at that moment. You see, they enable the nurse and the doctor at that moment. They give them that authority. They give them the ability to make that move because of what they have to say. You see, when we begin to think about enablement, you know, it's something that you and I activate all the time. And see, we have the ability, whether we think in this way or not, that we can enable compassion. You know, we can enable a lot of things. And see, during the course of our lives and in the course of our marriages, from time to time, in the enablement process, we will either authorize or sanction or warrant or give license to. We may qualify. We may allow, permit, entitle, empower. See, there's a lot of elements when you think about this enablement. We may legalize or validate, give commission to. We may delegate our authority. We could give the okay to do something, give the green light, give them the thumbs up, you know, give them the resources to equip or to prepare or to determine if this is the proper time to do whatever it is you may want to do. See, there's a lot entailed and involved when you think about enable. Because, see, during the course of your life, that's what's been occurring. And after a while, we can begin to cognitively understand what we agreed to enable. And on the other hand, what we will not enable. See, this enablement process is the end result of what we have experienced in life and how we responded to internal and external stimuli. In some situations, we may have been extrinsically motivated. And in other situations, we may have been extrinsic or intrinsic. It was something just in us. See, we fail sometimes to recognize just how much our life experiences to a certain point have caused us to become who and what we are. See, we think in terms of our relationships, and oftentimes we don't give a lot of crudeness and credence to what we have learned even as a child. Because even as a child, when we watch children, we can see that as they go through their life, they also begin to understand how to enable or how to disable those who want to come into their circle. Children are a beautiful thing to watch, a beautiful thing to observe, because they tell us a lot about ourselves. But see, as we age, we some way lose a level of innocence. And we begin to sometime incorporate, and we allow sometime a spirit of manipulation to also become part of that which we enable. See, that was something that in many ways our ancestors had to learn how to do. They had to learn sometimes how to manipulate situations. And in the manipulation of those situations, it enabled certain things to take place. I'm not going to suggest that the pain, the sorrow, or the suffering that our ancestors may have gone through, and especially our female ancestors. I'm not going to even begin to think about that. But see, according to some of the historians, when we began to study the life of some of our female ancestors, they had to get to a point to where they had to learn how to enable certain processes to take place, where they did use an element of manipulation because they did not want to suffer too much that they may have suffered, or perhaps they didn't want to make themselves available to certain people that were part of the management team that they had to subject themselves to. I think you know what I mean. And see, during the course of time, for many of us, both men and women, we had to come to learn no longer how to have a concept or a mindset of manipulation, but we had to get back to that point to where we had to learn instead how to enable each other to develop the right kind of love and respect for each other. And so we had to go back and learn which relationships to enable and which ones that should be disabled. And over the last few weeks, we spoke about seeking, you know, knocking and finding and opening the door to oneness. And tonight, we want to chat a little bit more about these historical relationships and how we have to learn to enable certain things in our relationships, because oftentimes we have been impacted by our life experiences, and sometimes we may not know, we may not understand that what we do today and how we enable our relationships based on the foundation of love oftentimes is a direct result of what has happened in our lives. And sometimes we have to go through the process of deliverance. We have to go through the process. You know, Jesus said he came and set the captives free. He came and shared a deliverance ministry. And so we want to go through some of those examples of what it is and what takes place and why we need to be thinking about, you know, enablement, and why we need to know and understand that love must indeed be the key. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to have Tammy, my queen, share a few of those examples for you listening here tonight. We'll be right back after this short pause.
Baby, oh,
Amen, amen, amen. Love never fails. And that's the thing we got to understand. That's one of the things that we got to continue to study and realize, that love never fails. But are we expressing, are we showing the love that we need to give? Are we enabling? Are we giving? Are we allowing it to happen? We have power. It's up to us. And I pray that we understand that song, that love never fails, but understand that everything worth having is worth working for. And you have to give of yourself and give of things in order for you to express and show the love that needs to be shown with not only your spouse, as you see, there will be examples. You know, we speak about oneness so much as it relates to husband and wife, and we definitely will touch on that because that's the core. But we, how many of us know that we got to understand and know also that when we are speaking about love, we're speaking about coworkers and loving our children and loving our friends and loving those that we don't even know. The Bible tells us God is love. So if God is love and we want to be like God, we got to be love. So we got to express it. We got to show it. We got to enable it. So when I think about different things as it relates to examples in it, and I think about love and how we must enable it and how we must allow it the opportunity that we need it to do to facilitate oneness, you know, I think about our historical relationship, how all of them, they condition and program how we allow others into our world. Think about when we first meet someone and we're starting to get to know them and we're starting to learn a little bit more about them. We're starting to welcome them into more of our space and we're starting to release more of who we are. And so we're welcoming now their love and we're showing more love and more love that is geared toward a relationship, whether it be a friendship, whether it be children or a future spouse or whatever it may be. You are allowing yourself, you're giving of yourself. At that point, you're allowing some action to take place to welcome that love in and to allow that love to go out. And so I'm grateful and thankful that that is what really changes us. It's how the relationships that we've been in, the historical relationships and the conditions, that's what we that has programmed how we allow others into our world. And so when I think about it, it's from the very moment of conception until the day of transition, we engage in a process, Jesse, of enablement. We really do. Some of us believe it and some of us don't, but we really do. We do or we don't. There is no in between. So either you're going to love or you're not. You're going to enable it or you're not. Our journey, when we are blessed, allows the freedom to embrace oneness. But guess what? It allows us the freedom to embrace it. But how many of us know that there's choices that we can make? So when it allows us the freedom to make it, we also have a choice to reject it, God forbid. And so when I think about enable, Jesse, and I think about to give or to make or to action plan toward it, you know, I think about it as the journey where it involves people, events, it involves organizations, successes, failures, and the entail of life experiences. I mean, if we just really think about it, and we think about Romans 13:8, where it says, owe no one anything except to love each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. So when you think about all of these experiences, organizations, successes, and everything, and when you're going through all of that, if we incorporate this Romans 13:8, when we know in our hearts, where we owe no one anything except to accept, there is an except to love one another, except to love each other, except to make sure that we incorporate that thing called love. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. That's what it's all about. And then when I think about it, Jesse, it's just the way we are built and the way we are formed as we interact with the world. When we interact with the world and we think about the Word of God, and we incorporate the word of God, it allows us an opportunity to be successful in this thing called love, which God tells us we have to love everybody. We have to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. We have to give to others as we know God has given to us. One of the number one things that I can think about in the word of God as it relates to love, Jesse, when I think about 1 Corinthians 13:4-5, it tells us, love is patient and love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrongs. Can you imagine? I mean, it just brings excitement and brings joy in my spirit when I think about this. And this is a scripture we've all used at some point in time in our lives, and some of us have used it more than not. And I go back to the scripture because there are times, Jesse, I need to be reminded of what the scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians 13:4-5. That's some powerful word of God. And it's up to us as to whether or not we're going to apply 1 Corinthians 13:4-5 in our lives. Can we imagine how this world would be such a better place if we even just took part of this scriptures in verses 4 and 5 of how much better this world would be? And I just pray that God gives us all a better understanding of what his expectations are of all of us so that we can go forward and understand and know exactly what we must do. When I think about these different relationships, Jesse, and I think about family relationships, and when you think about family, you know, that's when we live in a world where each one of us are conceived with the same process. You know, we all go through the same way of being conceived. There's no secret about it. The structure of our families are impacted by the reality of how we are created. It is a reality. And we got to understand and know how we were created. We have intact families led by fathers and mothers that are still together. But let's not get it twisted. There's a lot of divorce in this world because people think the grass is greener on the other side. People think that it's better to go your separate ways because there may become a little tension here or there. There may be some disagreements every now and then. There may be some challenges with finances. There may be some issues of dealing with the children and how they should be dealt with. But let us also never forget the fact that it is better for us to work it out and understand what the Word of God talks about, i.e., once again, in 1 Corinthians. I thank God as always that if we recognize and we understand the structure that we call family, that it'll allow us to have an intact family more and more by and by, versus you have so many mothers that are raising children by herself, you know, that is a single parent situation. But let's not be prejudiced, because there are quite a few men that or fathers that are raising their children by themselves as well. But again, you got one parent that's doing the majority of the work. But let's think about it. If we had both parents intact, and you're able to do the necessary things that you need to do, and you're able to understand what love is, and you're able to know and understand what you are to do. And when I think about Proverbs 3, Jesse, verses 3 through 4, it says, let love and faithfulness never leave you. See, when you never let it leave you, you won't have a chance to go down to the courthouse and go through divorce and do the things by hiring and spending all kind of money in a divorce attorney. You don't have to worry about that, because if we continue to understand what Proverbs 3:3-4 tells us, let love and faithfulness never leave you. It didn't say let it be with you every now and then. The word says let it never leave you. It says bind them around your neck. How many of you know when something is around your neck, it's oh, thank you, Jesus, it's always with you. And if something is always with you, you're constantly what? Reminded of it. Thank you for answering. And so when it's around your neck, and then it says, write them on a tablet of your heart. How many of us know our heart ain't going nowhere? So if we write it on the tablet of our heart, It's always there. It gives us the ability to love and understand not only love, but faithfulness. It always has to be with it. It says, then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. And so the good name would be that you persevered. You did what you had to do to keep your marriage together through love. And love conquers all. We already know that. And so when we think about family relationships, and we think about how these relationships are working, you know, we have families led by two people, even of the same sex, which we know that can bring confusion. And God forbid if you got some transgenders in there that is trying to act as a mother that is a man, you know, that's bringing just too much into the house, into the fold of relationships of a man and woman that God created it to be. And so that's why it's so important for us to study this word and understand what the word of God is telling us so that we can continue to operate in oneness in the manner in which God created. But how many of us know it's not just family relationship when we speak about love? Let's speak about friends, old friends. As mentioned before, relationships with older friends may or may not be proper to enable in oneness, because we understand and know that it is based on the depth and type of relationship you may have experienced with the individual in the past. You know, all of us have had friends, recent friends, older friends, male friends, female friends. We all have experienced it. But those from the past, you have a tendency to know a little bit more about them to help you understand it. How about former lovers that you've been with may not be good candidates for sustained relationships after we are after you're married? So you got to somewhat put some boundaries in there. And so you got to understand and know how to work this thing. You can still be understanding. You can still be loving to your ex or to someone that was of an opposite sex that you might have been even closer to than just friends. But you got to have those things in perspective, and you got to know that. You got to understand it. And so when I think about 1 Peter 4:8, it says, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sin that I just spoke about. And so if you break up with someone because they were once someone that you dated, but you cannot say that because you're no longer with them, that you hate them, that you do not love them anymore, because you are responsible to love everyone no matter what. But now you have to have some kind of boundaries when you're married and in a serious relationship looking to be married. You got to put some boundaries on those relationships that you had before, that it was a little bit more than just a friendship. Then when I think about career pursuits, Jesse, you know, all of us have been in a workforce at one point in time in our lives, because a lot of you that may have gotten married, a lot of the women sometimes have a tendency to do the responsibilities of a wife and their home with the children, or their home taking care of the home front while the husband or the male goes out and works. And so some of you may not have experienced it as much since you've been married, but trust me, I'm sure in growing up in your younger years before marriage that you had an opportunity to be in the workforce. And so career pursuits in some relationships, men and or woman may need to initiate agreement for a spouse to advance in their career without jealousy. Because how many of us know that jealousy will kill any and everything? You can't be jealous when your husband has to go to a dinner with a group of possibly women that's working with him and for him, or working in that department. You cannot be jealous. You have to trust. You have to believe that you know that they're doing the right thing. And spouses, do not give your spouse an opportunity to be able to think that you're doing other things than just going to a dinner. And so it's upon all of us to know how to act and how to be in order to show this wonderful unconditional love. And so when I think about career pursuits, that's one of the main things that I know can cause us some issues, and that's as it relates to that jealousy. Once started, this requires a lifetime commitment to work together with the spouse and our spouse-to-be. You have to be able to communicate You need to let your spouse know, oh, I have a dinner tonight with a group of the coworkers. We need to discuss this, that, or the other, just to keep your spouse abreast. And all you're doing is helping to keep down any friction or any challenges that may be going on. And so what I'm always thinking of and I'm always grateful for is I'm always thinking, even in Ephesians 4, 2, Jesse, it says, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. And so you got to be patient with the spouse that is at home that may not understand and know all that takes place in a dinner engagement, a working engagement that you might have to stay after hours and be with an opposite sex and be able to know that there's things that have to get done because of your responsibilities on the job. But you have to do your part to be able to communicate with those individuals. And so I pray that God will help us understand more about Ephesians 4, 2, because we have to be completely humble and gentle. We got to understand what it means to be patient, bearing with one another in love. That's key. That's important. And if we incorporate that and know what to do with that, trust me, Jesse, it's going to put us in a better light with our spouse so that we can continue to work on oneness and be in oneness at all times. And then when I think about hobbies, what are you doing that may or may not create a level of concern or apprehension in your relationship? See, hobbies is something that you may do or may not do. It's not something that's a necessity such as, you know, your coworkers in the workplace. And so you got to make sure when you pick up these hobbies that you're doing it for the right reason and you're still yet able to show love to those that are all involved. How many of us know a hobby may be to a man, and I'm not saying just a man, so I really shouldn't say that, to an individual in a home, one of the parents, because some women love the golf just as much as men. But when I think about that wonderful game called golf, when I think about that wonderful game called tennis, a lot of times those sports will pull us away for several hours, and so many people are into those sports as they get older that they want to go and be out there all day. And sometimes they want to be out there 2 and 3 days in a row. How many of us know you are truly taken away from quality time within your family? So you have to balance that relationship. You've got to know what to do to enable love so that when you enable love, it gives you the ability also to facilitate oneness where one spouse is not upset with the other because they're allowing their hobbies and the things that they enjoy to do to interfere with what they have going on. So, Jesse, in my closing, I will say that when I think about true love, I think about true love that it can also be defined as you know you will how to act in a relationship with someone. True love is about meeting each other's expectations and loving each other with trust, acceptance, and support. It doesn't matter what we do and who we are, and, you know, it doesn't matter. You have to still show trust. You support each other. You have to accept. And then when I think about true love is also about treating someone with the kind of respect that you desire and you deserve because you view them in a loving manner. It goes both ways. And so as I think about even unconditional love, Jesse, unconditional love, simply put, is love without strings attached. It's love you offer freely. You don't base it on what someone does for you in return. So often we do that. And so often we get disappointed because everybody's not going to love the way you love. Worry about you and how you're loving. And then when I think about it, when I think about true love, it's allowing ourselves to be able, when I think about that unconditional part of it, it allows us to be able to go forward and know that there's certain things that we should and should not do. You simply love and want nothing in return other than happiness. That should be the only thing that is on your mind. And when we think about it, this type of love is called compassionate or agape love. And so we want to make sure we do everything we do because when we look at love unconditionally, it means that we even have to love people in tough times. Think about when you're in disagreements, Jesse. Think about when things are happening. We got to continue to love even when we're in disagreement. And so we got to understand that we don't stop loving simply because we're upset or disappointed with one another or in a disagreement. We must continue to love at all times. Conditional love takes a lot of unconditional love takes a lot of work. But then when I think about unconditional love, Jesse, we know there's also what we call conditions in love. And when you think about the conditions in love, you start putting conditions on different things and why you should do things the way you do it in order to receive that love. And we don't want to do that either. So I'm grateful and I'm thankful on tonight that I was able to share. If we want to learn just a little bit more about this thing called love, we can also go to Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 through 48. It'll give us a little bit more insight on it as well. But for sake of time, I'm grateful and I'm thankful that God has blessed and anointed both of us to be able to understand, witness, and share this thing that we call love. May the grace of God continue to be up on all of us, no matter what relationships we're in, that we're able to show the love that he has given us. In Jesus' name, God bless.
Amen. Powerful prophetic utterance once again. We praise God for your ministry gifts, my queen, my wife, my best friend. I just want to close with a few comments and encouragement and recommendations for our listening audience. If you're listening live now or if you're listening in the archives. Number one, assess your level of enablement. Are you flexible with your spouse and the type of relationships they have developed over their lifetime or the pursuits you desire? Where are you in your level of assessment? Or do you always try to clamp down and be in control on both sides? Could be for a wife or for a husband. Number two, determine what relationships are challenging. Be honest with yourself. Are there any persons you have decided not to enable in your marriage? Be willing to share with your spouse. See, we've got to learn how to be open and transparent. When we're open and transparent, we can eliminate some of the reasons why we don't enable relationships. But when we're not open and transparent, then most of the time you're not going to be able to enable relationships outside of your marriage with old friends. That's just the way it is. Number three, make necessary adjustments. Be transparent in your discussions regarding relationships and share those that make you uncomfortable and share the reasons why. Maybe your spouse has got someone that just bugs you, irritates you. Be open. Don't be ugly to the person or to your spouse. Have a conversation, because sometimes we have illusionary differences. They're not even real, but we allow our minds to begin to think about them, and then all of a sudden we'll find ourselves believing what we have been thinking about or what the enemy perhaps suggested in your consciousness. Number four, constantly seek improvements for enablement. Identify where you have challenges in your enablement model and the changes you may need to make in your social and spiritual circle. See, we all have friends. We all have people we know. And we all have enemies. But at the end of the day, you have to really have a plan and you've got to have a protocol for how you are going to enable yourself with others. Because everything you do and everybody you deal with, directly or indirectly, whether you believe it or not, has the impact and the possibility of affecting your relationship. And the number one thing we want to do is maintain the oneness of your relationship. And so sometimes what the world may view as weak is what is viewed as strength by the Father and by the Creator. And number five, be willing to change where necessary. Don't be so set in your ways and your preferences that you are unwilling to give consideration to enablement. Don't do that. Yet on the other hand, to be balanced, always determine what situations you are not willing to enable and defend those situations with love. There are certain situations to where the enablement model may not work. And when those situations develop, then you've got to be firm in your position, but always be firm in that position with love. Take the time to discuss it, but also be willing to change. When you had an improper or a first opinion that was not quite accurate or correct, then be willing to change. We hope and pray tonight that this concept of enablement, where you really enable love via not only your personal relationship with your spouse or your spouse-to-be, but also with many other people around. And so we have to give full consideration to the fact that it's not just our spouse, but it is a host of people that may impact and affect how we deal with the world at large. Tammy, would you close us out real quick in prayer? God bless. I forgot to take off the mic. Father, we praise you. We thank you. We give you glory. We give you honor tonight. We pray, Father, that this word will go out, Father, and that it will not return void, but it will accomplish everything it's been sent to do. And so we thank you tonight that the prophetic utterance came forth. We pray that all of those here live and those that will be listening in the archives might be blessed by hearing a word from you. So we thank you, Father, for giving us the model of enablement based on the founding and who and what you are, for the word says, you are love. We thank you tonight, Father. We give you glory. We give you honor. We ask you to bless all of those that are dialed in tonight. May they be prosperous with whatever they touch their hands to, that it would also be prosperous. We thank you tonight. Bless all of these marriages and those who desire to be married, and enable love to facilitate oneness. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. In Jesus' name. You all have a great week. God bless you. And we will see you here again next Monday night. Don't eat too much on Monday either. God bless.
Agape love.